welcome to the Weekly Wind Down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacy, the new age old school mom.
I'm Stacy, the political princess.
And I'm Erin, the geeky gal pal.
And I can't even comment on Stacy's intro anymore. She's crushed it like the last five episodes.
I know. You're really nailing it.
It's not even a thing anymore.
We're very professional.
Just let
so
it go profess. Now.
So professional.
Okay, tonight I am drinking the limited release Ménage à Trois, the bourbon barrel cab. And it's aged 3 months in a bourbon barrel. And it's rich, full-bodied. It's real dark in here. I can't read it. Expression of Cabernet Sauvignon. And I actually, when I drank the apothic that was aged in a bourbon barrel, or maybe it was whiskey, it was one of the two, it was horrific because the alcohol overwhelmed the taste of the wine so much. This is actually really good. Like you can, it's like a little bit of hint of bourbon, but it's definitely the cab that you taste more of. So
it's not sweet like a port where it's like overpowering.
No, it's actually really good.
Oh, cool. That's nice.
Okay, literally, when you said it was hard to read because it was too dark, I wanted to be like, things we say now. I've watched Wine Country too many times.
Oh, I hear you. I feel you. God.
Can I offer you some feedback?
That's the best.
Can I just say something?
I am drinking another Costco wine. It's called Uppercut. It's a California cab. And it says limited release on it. So far, so good. It was like $8.99 at Costco.
Like, is it like a Thursday wine or is it a Monday?
It's like a Thursday.
Yeah, okay.
I would buy it again. Yeah.
I'm going to say mine's a Friday wine.
Nice.
Yeah. Wow, no, I didn't say Saturday. Calm down, everyone. I said Friday. Friday.
I'm really digging these like Costco wines. They have them. Like they have a little blurb about where they come from and the awards they've won and all this stuff and how they're supposed to be like $30 and Costco sells them for like 10 and under. And I'm really digging it. Like, I don't think I've had a bad one yet.
Why? Way to plug Costco.
The whoop, Costco whoop. Whoop, sponsor whoop. It. Okay. I am drinking this A to Z Wineworks Bubbles, rosé, and it's delightful. I bought it because I thought the bottle was really interesting because it was just super cute. And it had, I like the fonts, so score one for them already. But then it had like a bottle cap on top, which I thought was interesting. It was from Oregon, and I was like, there's no way this is going to be any good. But honestly, like, it's good. And it describes itself as like a cherry candy bubble situation. Which it is without being sweet. Like, it's not overly sweet because I wouldn't like that, but it's super refreshing. It tastes great. I'm using my Napa wine chiller this time, which is just a big metal ball you put in the freezer since I never get home in enough time to chill my wine. Classier than ice cubes.
We were just talking about when Erin and I got on first and you sent the picture of what you're drinking. I was like, Stacy is the fanciest fucking person we know. Like, when it comes to wine. Like, without a doubt, your bottles are always, like, marketing, like, genius props.
I think that's because that's what I like. I'm into that, so that's what, like, appeals to me.
Yeah, I mean, the only person I know who, when smart. You look at something, you're like, I love this font.
But I probably should be reading stuff like Stacey's reading, like, how many awards has it won? What is it? And I'm like, ooh, that sans serif with that script is a cute combo. And then I'm surprised when they taste like trash sometimes.
We're all suckers for marketing.
No, for sure. Right. How many shitty wines have we drank because they had awesome like covers on them?
Ugh, all bad. Of them.
All of them. Yeah. All of the Monday wines.
Ugh, the worst. So I am drinking the Dreaming Tree. They just came out with a rosé. And if you know the Dreaming Tree at all, it's Dave Matthews Band wine, and I am a huge Dave fan, and
are
I don't
you?
Really, yeah.
So you're the one left, huh?
Yep, me and,
oh,
and Gail. It's lonely out here on this island, but we're swaying to the music, you know. We're getting high. I mean, we're not.
swaying
to this contemporary adult pop. Like,
there's like, I'm sorry, a poem on the back about a rhinoceros that Dave Matthews wrote. So I'm going to read it really quick.
Please,
Rosie the rhinoceros. Bigger than a hippopotamus and really look quite preposterous. If you judge me by my belly, the truth is quite appositous. On account of our... I'm already drunk.
Try to read this again at the end of the podcast.
I'm going to finish because I don't even know what the fuck that word is. Dave, come on. At any rate, it's all about how there's not a lot of rhinoceros. And I honestly, it's really good. It is so not, it's not sweet at all, but it's very crisp and I'm very much enjoying it. And to be honest, I would probably buy it again so far. Who knows what the end of the podcast brings.
It always gets better by the end.
Yeah, that's true. Or I don't taste it at all by the end. Who knows?
Hard to say. All right. So we are on our non-political week. We have Aaron here. So we're going to kick it off by discussing the new craze that is taking hold of all kinds of people called microdosing. So Stace, do you want to give a brief overview?
So I read about it as being the new hip thing with stay-at-home moms. Microdosing is taking small amounts of LSD or mushrooms, not enough to get high. They say it takes like 100 milligrams to get high, not even milligrams. It was like micro. I don't remember the denomination. It was some crazy thing. And people are taking like 10. So they're not getting high, but they're still getting that euphoric feeling, that like rush of dopamine and serotonin, to get through the day. And they're doing it as an alternative to anxiety and depression meds. And it's popular with moms because it's like drinking an energy drink in the middle of the day. Like, they get that boost. They're this is what they say. I'll give you my thoughts, but this is what they say. That's what they're comparing it to, is they're better moms and they're more apt to want to play games with their kids and stay up with them and their energy level. And I have thoughts. So I think Stacey asked like the best question when we were texting about it. Like, are they getting prescribed this? Like, how do they, I don't understand. Like, where are they getting it? So they're buying it on the streets. Nobody's prescribing this and nobody's telling them how much to take. So they're at home figuring it out with like jewelry scales, I guess, and figuring out how much is a good amount to take. And I have so many thoughts. Like, when I first read about it, I was like, freaking cool. Because who doesn't like a Red Bull in the middle of the day? And who would, like, this is going to make me sound bad for a second, but I'm probably a better mom after a glass of wine. I'm like, yes, let's color. You know what I mean? Like, okay. So I get like the attraction, you know, if you just had a tiny, tiny bit of a good feeling. Yeah. Like, that would get you through the day especially if you had little kids, you know, but there's so many red flags with this that I'm like, no, absolutely not. Like, hey, you could go to jail. And who are you buying it from? Like, guys on the streets, like drug dealers? And what if you like get pulled over? Are you driving while you're on this like 10 milligrams? I have too many questions. Too many questions. Like, it just doesn't seem like a very good idea.
I want to talk about the mom aspect, but I want to point out that this is also being used to help soldiers recover from PTSD and trauma victims and stuff too, who are under the care of like a psychiatrist while they're going through the process of microdosing, because it does supposedly, it can help you rewire the certain like neurons in your brain that are triggered because of the trauma that you experienced. So there are people that are using this as actual depression therapy. I want to talk about the moms because I think this is real funny, but I did want to point out that they are in the process of like doing actual clinical tests that are helping people with severe trauma. This is helping them recover faster and more efficiently than any other long-term drug use has in the past.
So, I think it's a great, like, I think it's a great tool and I think it's an amazing thing. And I think you're right. It could help a lot of things. I might just be so much of a scaredy cat that I'm like, there's no way. No, I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm so much of a scaredy cat that there's no way I'd be doing this. Like, but if it was something that doctors were prescribing me, that my doctor could say, like, hey, the benefits of this are going to outweigh the side effects. And I can say with, you know, 99% certainty that there's not going to be any interactions with the medications you already take.
That's I'd be like, things we say now.
I know. and that you know where it's coming from. If this was something you could get from a pharmacy and you knew that it was legit and stuff, like, I would feel so much differently about this. I get real antsy and weird and nervous about people messing with their own medications, whether they are legal or not. I know a lot of people that do this that will, you know, medication's working, I don't need to take so much anymore, and they'll cut. Like, that's so dangerous. I have a friend who is a pharmacist, and that kind of stuff is so dangerous. So I get where they're coming from, and I sort of get why this would seem desirable, but I'm such a scaredy cat that, like, I couldn't do it.
So I'm going to come in and be completely on the opposite side of both of you. I think it's awesome. And I have such severe anxiety sometimes that I don't take anything for it because I don't necessarily want to start relying on a medication for the anxiety. But I definitely think, like, you know, there are moments when obviously I've indulged in, I inhaled, all right? I've inhaled. And it helps. Like, that helps me sometimes just, like, take a step back and calm down. And, like, you know, only have I done it in legal areas.
No one's going to arrest you, Aaron. You're fine.
All right. Good. So I definitely think that it would be interesting to do something like that, not because, like, I want to do LSD or shrooms, but because I feel like if something could help me where I'm not necessarily dependent on it, but I definitely can take a step back and take a breather, I think it would definitely help. Because a lot of people, you know, that may or may not suffer from anxiety don't understand, like, the crippling effects of it. And it's so hard. And the idea of, like, having to take a daily medication to me causes me even more anxiety. Like, I'm going to forget it. I'm going to not take it one day. Then what happens? Then I'm going to, you know, I'm going to have this moment of, like, oh my God, I forgot to take my medicine, blah, 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 and then I'm just going to freak the fuck out. So I would much rather not have to go through that. Like,
I actually agree with you. And it's just funny how, because my anxiety manifests in a way that I would be too afraid to do it.
Yeah.
Not being under the care of a doctor. Like, I think the benefits of it are totally good, but it would cause me so much anxiety not knowing whether or not, like, it would
reverse.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
I read a couple articles on it, and the one article that I read, they actually did a controlled study with it. They gave people 10, 12, 13, 17, and 26 milligram dosings, actually said that it helped with depression because of the spike in, you know, serotonin and stuff. It didn't help with anxiety. It actually made anxiety worse because it is like a stimulant. So
great.
Yeah. So
I shouldn't be going, I shouldn't be getting LSD off the street tomorrow.
Yeah. But I think one of the biggest problems, like, I see arising with it is, you know, like a medicine that you take every day that's not supposed to be taken every day, you know, like a painkiller. You have to take more and more. You have to up your dose to feel it later. And it's, like, known that you kill off those neurons in your brain that make dopamine, right? If you do more and more party drugs, you kill off the ability to make your own. Mm-hmm. So if moms are doing this in tiny doses for so long, aren't they prolonging an even worse depression? And also, aren't they going to have to up their dose to keep it up every day to the point where they are getting high? You know what I mean?
Well, because I think you get to a point where then you are becoming addictive.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, just like with anything else where you don't have the ability to make all those natural hormones anymore that, you know, endorphins and serotonin.
Well, like, a glass of wine used to be okay, but now a bottle is just fine.
It's not any worse. Like, it's not any worse than wine or sugar or any of those things where you get a dopamine release when you eat it. Well, no, I'm just saying it does the same thing. It does the same thing because there's, you should read the book. It's starts with food. It's the one that the Whole 30 is based on. But they talk about how, like, when you, you know, the whole idea with, like, releasing dopamine when you eat something sweet is that, like, oh, this thing's safe. It's not poisonous. It, you know, eat this thing. It's great. But it doesn't have any, like, nutritional value, like Oreos. That's something that I like to eat.
Whoa, so you get the dopamine.
I'm just saying.
There's no nutritional value in Oreos.
There goes my whole breakfast routine.
Right. But you get this dopamine release without any nutritional value. So then you eat meat, meat until you're physically full instead of the point where you're satiated. So it's the same thing. If you're constantly eating things that are obviously not good for you, you're getting the positive benefit of a dopamine release, but then you get addicted to sugar. Try to go on an elimination diet where you don't get sugar. And I'll tell you, those withdrawals are freaking rough. I did the Whole 30 for a little while and I cried on day 7 because someone was eating marshmallows.
Oh my God, sounds like a really bad case of Mondays.
I didn't even want them. I just cried because I knew I couldn't have them and I was so addicted to sugar.
Here's the thing about this whole microdosing craze that's going on with stay-at-home moms right now. And let's stop pretending that like stay-at-home moms haven't been medicating themselves since like the 1950s with prescription drugs. Like it's just like a running joke, the Valium, the Percocet, the, you know, all these things that these, what are we really doing to moms though? That's causing them to feel like that they need to be medicated to get through the day. Like if I'm 100% sure that there's medical benefits from doing this. And LSD it's a byproduct of rye fungus, and mushrooms they do naturally occur in nature. So I would personally say if gun to my head, if I had to choose whether or not to eat a fungus or take like, I don't know, heroin, I'm going to go with the fungus. Like,
of course.
I mean, yeah. At least it's naturally occurring in nature. And I think if this does actually make a breakthrough for people with like PTSD and stuff, I think that's fantastic and it should definitely be studied. But why are stay-at-home moms, since they seem to be the biggest user of these, what is going on with them that they feel like that they need to be medicated to deal with their lives?
Well, no, I mean, so like, who can keep up with a crazy 3-year-old? You need like a coffee break or a whatever just to keep that smile on your face.
But then how do you know when you let your kids go over to people's houses that these parents aren't microdosing and stuff?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And driving. Are they driving? Yeah. Even if it's 10 milligrams, like, are they out doing the carpool with this? I don't know.
Yeah, like, this is one of the things that, like, really hit home was whomever said like getting addicted to it. Like that would scare me the most because like, A, I have an addictive personality. I think it'd be very easy to get addicted to something that makes me feel amazing. So I think at the end of the day, like I always jump to like the opioid crisis and like how easily people get addicted to painkillers and the idea behind like actually being so addicted to LSD that you are, you know, pawning your kids' stuff to get more, and that whole vicious cycle that starts with the first taste of addiction is scary. And I would hope that some tiny micro dose wouldn't necessarily lead to that. But just like you said, Stace, like it's so easy to like, you know, you start taking 2 ibuprofen and then you're up to 3 and then you're up to 4 and then you're up to, you know, 1,000 milligrams and it's still not cutting the cramps you have, you know? So,
just take a little bit of LSD. You'll be fine.
I feel like maybe I need to, but yeah, so that's that part. Absolutely. The addiction part scares the shit out of me. That would be the one thing that would probably keep me from ever doing it.
Totally. Because then if you're like, oh, I have to do the school field trip today, I should definitely do it today because that's a lot of kids. And oh, I'm hungover today, let me do it today because I just want to be up. And you know what I mean? It would turn into an everyday thing. Even if you were like, had great intentions of, oh, I'm only going to do it when I'm stuck at home with my kids all day and whatever, you know,
yeah, and
even,
like,
I feel like you would find excuses to do
it. And like,
what's
the duration of the trip? You know, like, how long is this going to, is it work for like 20 minutes? Does it work for a half hour? Does it work for 3 hours? Or am I going to need to hit 10 milligrams of LSD again in 10 minutes?
Right.
But we treat, like, as soon as people hear the words like LSD or mushrooms or like cocaine or pot or any of these things, everyone immediately is like, but I mean, you enjoy drinking wine, but you're not doing it in the middle of the day either. So, well, I'm saying if you had kids and had to take care of, like, alcohol's a drug too. So right. Why do we treat alcohol so differently than we treat these other drugs? Like, it would be easier to get through a field trip with a little flask in your purse. Like, that would be easier, but hopefully that's not something you're doing. So what's the difference between that and somebody who's microdosing?
I don't know. I guess nothing. For me, I would look at it like I don't ever in the middle of the day, like, oh shit, I have to do this and have a glass of wine, because
right.
I'm very against driving. Especially with my kids in the car, you know, like, I won't drive if I have like 2 beers. I'm like, nope, that's my thing.
Yeah,
that's
not worth it.
You know, it's something my husband and I are very strict about. So mm-hmm. I think that's kind of my thing with alcohol, is like, I don't even think about it or consider it to be like an option every day, because I'd be stuck at home. That would suck.
I'm just saying, we trust people to make those like decisions. Right. Based
the stigmatism
on, like,
around it. Right. Is different.
Yeah, you know, this mom, like, let you know, a mom drinks for fun, or drinks on, you know, has a glass of wine every night of the week, whatever it is, you would still trust her with your kids. But would you trust a mom with your kids that you knew microdosed, even though drinking and driving probably is even more I mean, I don't know, I've never microdosed, but
yeah, I don't know.
But I'm just saying, like, we trust adults to make these like socially conscious decisions with certain drugs and not others. Like, it's very familiar to me.
Yeah. Fear of the unknown is probably a big one. I don't know, like, how would this mom, like, be sitting in the corner seeing purple dragons, or, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if my kid was choking, would she be able to?
I think that's the point of, like, the 1/10 of the amount that you normally take, though, is that you're not right. High.
Yeah.
You're not high. It's just, like, this little boost.
The stigma around it
being
illegal.
I'm not advocating for it. I'm just saying, like, I don't know enough about it.
I think it's probably because it's illegal.
I watched a video about it, and it was about this guy. He's like an engineer, super smart guy that like microdoses. And he talks about how it helps him like see the bigger picture, and like it gets him like out of like the minutiae into like this giant, you know, idea of like whatever they're working on. He can like see the whole thing instead of just like focusing on one tiny little aspect. Whether or not that's true or not, I don't know.
I read something about that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It just seemed like I guess to a certain extent, like, as a writer, there are moments when I sit down at the computer and I go, I have no idea what the fuck I want to write. Like, I
every
have
day.
No idea. Right. Like, then like, literally. So I think, like, what a little one scene. You know, like, probably not, and I won't try it. But at the same time, like, if something were there that would help me, like, expand my mind and, like, help me hammer out a scene that I'm having trouble with, I wonder. I really do. I wonder. Would I get the attraction? Yeah, like, it's, I don't know. I might have to research a little more.
Well, I mean, you guys, if it was up to me, we would decriminalize all drugs. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like,
I have a slanted view on it.
Like, I just feel like there's a lot of drugs that people do that are very harmful. And then there's drugs that people do that aren't really that bad. So I just feel like at the end of the day, you need to do you and hope to God you're not going to hurt someone else in the process. And the whole point of the microdosing and having someone else's kids or something like that, I would hope to God that the person doing that understands that it probably shouldn't be done with someone else's kids. It probably shouldn't be done when you're carpooling, you know, those sorts of things. I hope.
I think to sum it all up, like, you know, I just don't know necessarily yet if the cons outweigh the pros, basically. Like, yeah, it sounds great. In theory, it sounds like, hell yeah. Like, getting through the day with kids, yeah, you want that boost. But with it being illegal, with it being addictive, with it, you know, maybe you have to up the dose, you have to buy it on the streets, all these different aspects. I think that so far from what I've seen and read, it doesn't seem like the cons, you know, the pros outweigh the cons.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you guys ready to move on to the next topic?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Always.
Which one are we on?
You can do
breastfeeding, Stacey. Do it,
Stacey.
Sure. Okay.
Who's do breastfeeding, Stacey?
Yeah, no one's breastfeeding me. What the hell? No, so I just wanted to get your guys' opinion on this because I was having a conversation at work today. I don't know if you guys saw the story about there was a mom in Texas who was basically asked to leave a public pool. The way she's reporting it is that she was asked to leave because she was breastfeeding. Now, as someone who has worked in an environment like that before, I could definitely see how this would become an issue. So from what it sounds like, she had both of her breasts exposed and was nursing her son. So coming from a position where typically you have something written in your rules that, like, you know, proper swim wear needs to be worn at all time. People aren't even allowed to wear thongs in a public facility like that I believed is owned by a municipality. There's sort of rules that come into play when it comes to exposure and decency and things like that. And so from what I read, it seems like the pool manager asked her to cover up. She refused. They talked to her again. They asked her to cover up. She refused. And then they called the police. And so, yeah, like if I ran a facility like that and one of my staff asked somebody to do something that was clearly within their, you know, rules and they didn't abide and they're not following the policies, like, yeah, they're probably going to contact the police because there's nothing else you can do. And in their perspective, this person's exposing themselves at a facility that's populated by children and families and things like that. The way the story was presented was that this mom was removed from the facility by police for breastfeeding. And it's interesting when you have an opinion that is not, like, I'm as left and liberal and whatever as a feminist as it gets.
What?
I know.
What?
I know you haven't been able to tell based on all my opinions before. But the second you say anything to a situation like that, that's not, well, let her breastfeed wherever you want. All of a sudden you're anti-woman. You're not supporting breastfeeding mothers. You're not whatever. But also being on the side of someone who has in my career run a municipal water park. Yeah. I don't think it's appropriate to have both of your breasts exposed. You know, if you're discreetly nursing your child, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But when you're in a guy can't walk around with his penis out. And I get the argument about, like, but breastfeed babies and whatever, like, that I understand, but you also are in a public facility. And I think there needs to be some sort of, you know, there should be rules about that kind of stuff, because it's not just like with, you know, smoking for a number of reasons is illegal in California. And trust me, there's a metaphor here. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that it's not your choice to expose me or my children or whatever to your secondhand smoke. Same thing with, you know, inappropriate language in settings where there's kids and music with vulgar language. It's not your responsibility to expose children to that. So I think nudity kind of goes along that same way. And I think we have to get to a point where we realize, like, or can at least agree that part of breastfeeding a child to some people is a bit of nudity. And so I was just curious your guys' opinion on this, because, like, as much as I'm like, feed your baby wherever you want to feed your baby, I also don't think in that environment it's appropriate to have both of your bare breasts exposed.
I 100% agree with everything you said. I am all for breastfeeding. Absolutely breastfeed your child. Like, I don't mind it. You can do it right next to me at a restaurant. Like, in my mind, this is what I'm thinking. Would you pull both of your boobs out at a restaurant and set them on the table?
Right.
Like, would
and
you?
I'm not saying you have to cover up either, because I get it. Like, I get the whole thing about, like, should you always have to be completely covered and then it's dark and they're trying to nurse and they're whatever. But I know lots of people that very discreetly nurse, that it's out, the baby's on, and there it is, and you can't even see what's happening. But when you're just sitting there with both of your bare breasts exposed, like,
I can't even imagine the scene. Like, I would have done, like, a quadruple take. Like, I would have been like, what? Why are both out? Like, I've never breastfed a child. I probably will never. Unless some sort of immaculate conception happens. I don't plan on breastfeeding anyone. So obviously I don't really understand the mechanics necessarily. I mean, I've sucked on a boob before, but not the milk. So in my mind, like, I'm thinking, like, why are they both out? Why? Like, I just don't understand.
Well,
that.
And I get, like, if you're switching, like, from one to the other, like, take, like, them off, cover it up, put that one up, put them on. Yeah.
I guess I also slightly envy the person that can just sit there free boobing it. Just.
Right.
Just in public. Just, I just got nothing on. My titties are hanging out and I'm fine. Like, I would be so self-conscious. Like, I can't even imagine. But I guess maybe, like, there's a, I don't know. I'm like kind of like.
This is a good example, though.
Well, it's one of those things you have to tiptoe around, because, like they said, the second you're like, no, there should be yeah. some sort of balance here. You're anti-woman. You're not supportive of breastfeeding mothers. Yeah.
Well, exactly. This is a perfect example of it being like how things are right now. So either one extreme or the other, like, mm-hmm. they're, I breastfeed your kid. I don't care. Like, it's, you have to feed them. I get it. 100%. I get it. But yes, there is like a, but if she was sitting there with, and especially when you're breastfeeding, the nipple's covered anyway, because the child is latched right. to it. So it's really not even a thing. Why would you expose the other one? Secondly, you're absolutely right. Municipal facilities are completely different. It's not like she was in her backyard doing this and some asshole walked by and was like, oh, I can see both her boobs in her own backyard. Like, that's super inappropriate. Like, no, you don't get to say things like that. Like, but the, if I was in charge of that pool, I would be very concerned about, do we have an adequate place for mothers to breastfeed that they don't have to do it out in the open?
Then that's the other like, argument too, is that why should they have to be removed from the event? And why, and they literally talked about that. Why should they have to go to the bathroom to feed their babies and do this and do that? Like, it's such
because of the nudity policies in place in a municipal right. facility. Like right. it's not a reflection on political beliefs as much as it's a reflection right. on policies in a municipal facility, because you have all different kinds mm-hmm. of, you know, when I ran the pool, we had a man take his shirt off and he had a huge swastika on his chest. Okay. And I got a ton of complaints about it. Now, me personally, I think that's horrific. But as an individual, that's also a First Amendment right to be able to have a swastika on your chest. However, our policies dictate that you can't have anything offensive exposed when you're mm-hmm. when you're in public. So I had to ask, and he totally got it. It's not the first time that he had been asked to cover. And he even said, he was like, I made a lot of mistakes as like a really young man, and I completely regret this. So he covered it up with no problem. Had he made a scene, though, because it is a First Amendment right to be able to tattoo whatever you want on your body, that, but the policies in a municipal facility dictate you can't have anything like overtly offensive to others, which I think having two bare breasts out would be. I mean, it, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Right.
Like, there's no winning situation in this scenario. No.
And they're mad at them for calling the police, but again, working in a municipal facility, like, you don't realize that the police are your private security company, basically. So I don't think people always realize that you work for the same agency. And so, yeah, if we had somebody who was refusing to follow the rules and then also wouldn't leave, like, you either follow the rules or you don't need to be here anymore. And if they're refusing to do that, like, that's who you're going to call, especially if you're getting complaints. So I totally get where they're coming from. It's just a rough one. I'm curious to hear Stacey's opinion. And then I have a second part of this that I want your guys' opinion on.
I really want to hear Stacey's opinion too.
I feel like it's for me, when I was breastfeeding my kids, it was like, if I'm in a room with somebody that hasn't seen my boobs before, I didn't flash them all over the place. So if I'm in a room with like my dad hasn't seen my boobs as an adult. Like, of course not. I'm not going to take them out and like show them off. So I'm going to be modest about it. And I'm going to do it like to not show them off. So at home with my husband, sure, I probably just whip my shirt off. Like, it was no big thing. But when you're with people that don't necessarily need to see your boobs, it's a level of modesty, right? So right. like, if you're a man and you go into a public bathroom and there's just a row of urinals, do you drop your pants to the floor and lift your shirt up to your armpits and pee in the urinal? No, because it's a level of modesty that you just don't need to expose yourself that much. Yes, like, that doesn't mean I'm against urinals. Like, I'm like, it's just, you don't need to go that far out there. So if you're breastfeeding in public, like, cool, I'm all for breastfeeding, do your thing. Yeah. But you don't need to purposely show them off so much. And it's not like
this one was trying to make a point.
100%. She was. And I feel like
then they organized a thing where everybody came and breastfed at the pool.
Oh, Jesus. But I feel like the women that are so pro breastfeeding, like, I'm going to whip them out to prove a point all the time. Those are the women that would, like, show them both, that would make a big deal about doing it in a public place with a lot of kids and a lot of families, maybe a Denny's, you know, whatever, and just be like, what? Look at me. What are you looking at? You know, where it doesn't need to be that way. Nobody's saying you can't breastfeed your kid. Just don't be crazy with it. Like, come on.
And I think, like I said, I'm pretty liberal. Like, yeah, don't cover up. Don't go in a bathroom, whatever. But you can be modest about it. And right. Still...
It's modesty.
I'm just still completely shocked that she had both.
She just had both kids out. Hang yeah.
out. I'm just beside myself.
So the other part of this that goes along with it is it's kind of twofold. So I had seen an article about some companies that are starting to let their, like, new moms bring their newborns in to work with them, and then they can nurse them and they can sleep there and they can whatever. So in combination with that, I have a friend who, if she listens, I love you and I'm not judging you. I'm just saying, I don't agree. She's a dance teacher, and she was complaining to us about how the studio got a negative Yelp review because there was a parent who brought her child into the class, and it was the first time this parent had been there. And she had her baby there, and, you know, in those sort of settings, you usually have an assistant teacher. And so she had the assistant warming up the class, stretching them, going across the floor while she nursed her baby. And
The
instructor. Correct. So you come into class, I'm teaching it, I have an assistant, I have the assistant start the class while I nurse my baby with the intention of then I'll put my baby down to sleep and then I'll begin teaching. And I just was so against that. Like, yeah, of course she's pissed because she's paying you to do something and you're not doing it. I don't think she's mad about the fact that you're breastfeeding. I think she's mad about the fact that you're doing anything other than the thing she's paying you to do. And I get that you have an assistant, but... And if the assistant had been stretching your class and warming them up while you were talking to parents or taking a payment or doing something like that, even that I could buy because you're still doing it in service of the class and what you're being paid to do. But it made me start thinking about this whole, like, should you be bringing your baby to work? And I don't mean to be one of those single childless people that compares their dog to a baby all the time, but Piper had a vet appointment a couple weeks ago, and I thought, like, oh, I'll just bring her into work with me for the first 2 hours. And then I went, no, because you know what? I won't get any fucking work done. And it's got to be the same thing with a baby. A baby needs more attention than a puppy does. Like, I 100% was not on her side. Like, no, I'm with this parent. Like, if you're being paid to perform a service and instead of doing that service, you're doing something else, whether it's breastfeeding your child, taking care of your baby, like, I don't know that it's appropriate for your kid to be at work with you.
I totally agree. I mean, if I went to gymnastics and the gymnastics coach was feeding her baby instead of teaching my kid, I'm like, I pay $60 an hour. Like, come on.
Right.
Like, I would want your full attention on my kid for that amount of money.
Right. And if that baby starts crying in the middle of class, you think she's going to be like, oh, well, it's fine. Let me keep teaching. Nope. Over to the baby.
I think certain jobs, it would be inappropriate. If you work in an office in a cubicle and, like, whatever, you need to breastfeed and it's bring your kid to work day, like, cool. That's fine. But I also think, like, not just that, but it's also a level of couth, right? Because you are in front of, let's say, 15 5-year-olds. Are you going to, like, whip out your boob and breastfeed your baby in front of 15 5-year-olds? That's not, who are you to say that, like, the moms should be teaching their kids about breastfeeding? You know what I mean? Like, that's the mom's decision to teach their kid about that.
Right. So that's not your position to do that. Even in the office environment, though, like, in some places, you get in trouble for spending too much time on your cell phone. So then, I get it, where if they're outweighing the benefit, like the loss of the amount of work time that gets taken away by a mother having to, you know, comfort their child or breastfeed their child is worth the, you know, positive benefits to the employer. Like, sure, I get it. But I mean, Jackie, you got a little baby at home. Could you imagine getting any work done if he was at work with you?
I took the tiny terrorist to work one time, and I fully believed that I was going to be able to just, like, keep him in his little, like, rocker and get work done and stuff. And first of all, you cannot, because he's aware that he's somewhere different. He wants to be held constantly. He's moving around. I mean, I'm very fortunate. My job, they don't care. Like, I put in enough extra hours and random hours I took care of him for two when I wasn't working. It doesn't matter to them because I work nights and weekends. Like, it, they didn't care. But I also wasn't instructing somebody. I didn't have a meeting that I like had to carry him into. Like, it was just me sitting in my office. It would have been, I would have felt very unprofessional had I had a meeting scheduled with someone that day carrying my child in. Now, I think it's kind of like you see these, you know, people in parliament and senators and Congress people kind of doing the same thing, taking their kid into work and stuff. I do completely think it's like a case by case basis. I don't want to make a grand sweeping statement.
2 weeks old.
I don't want to make a sweeping statement saying babies should never be in the workplace, but I don't also want to make one saying that, I mean, you know your job, you know your boss, you know your work environment.
Right.
You need to work it out. Well, but yes, if you're being paid by the hour to perform a service to whoever, and like you're taking... Well, I mean, I think parents should have a right to be angry if you were answering your cell phone or, you know, if your friend came in and brought you a Starbucks and you talked to them. Like, I think all of those things when you're being paid for a service by the hour.
And I should mention, this is a regular thing. It was not a one-time, like, oh, the babysitter got sick and whatever. Like, very regular. Yeah.
Inappropriate.
Okay. Like, there's a pack and play at the studio.
Yeah. Inappropriate.
No, I don't like that at all. I'd be very frustrated. I just feel like your attention will never fully be on my child, who I am paying you to teach, if your baby is there. And it shouldn't be. Your baby is the most important thing to you. Like, if your baby is within 5 feet of you, that probably should be your priority, especially if it's a 2 week old. But like, I don't understand. I don't even know how I'd be able to focus. Like, I don't think I'd be able to focus fully, like, on a class teaching if my child was there, regardless if it was 2 or 10. I'd be like,
a risk management perspective too. Like, to me, an assistant title denotes that you have less experience and less technical knowledge of the thing that's being done. And to me, like, little kids, like, they can get hurt really easily in situations like that. They stretch the wrong way. They do something the wrong way. Like, if your full time and attention isn't devoted to the thing you're supposed to be doing, like, you're negligent.
But we could also tie this back into, we do not offer mothers enough paid maternity leave for them to be able to feel comfortable with leaving their child somewhere else. And go, like, we just don't offer that as a society. We expect women to come back to work when their child is 6 weeks old. Like, that, that's obscene. Well, like, we're forcing moms into a situation like that
too, where you're a situation. I get it too, because like, childcare is expensive, but it's hard for situations like that where you're an independent contractor. Like, if you're not in there teaching, you're not getting paid. And I think it's stuff like that where it's like, of course you need to go back. You're not going to make any money. It's not like you're going to get, you have sick leave piled up. Like, that's not how jobs like that work. So I agree with you. I think for the people that do stuff like that, like, there needs to be something.
Well, you look at places like, for instance, EA, Google, places like that, they offer on-site childcare. So you bring your child with you to work, and there's actually a facility that they house them in. You can go down and breastfeed them if you need to. Like, you could take half an hour every few hours and go breast, but they're being supervised by professionals. They're with you at work, and then you take them home with you. Like, there are places that that's got awesome. It right. But instead, we are going to go into the process of, now we're in a situation where we're sitting here saying these moms are wrong, when they're in a situation that I'm sure they don't want their kid with them at work. This is the situation they have to be in for financial reasons. I'm sure they would much rather be at home with their children, if especially at that age. But now we're sitting here being like, well, what the fuck was that mom thinking? When it's like, what are we thinking forcing her to be at work when her kid is 2 weeks old? Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
But we just have this common practice of blaming the woman or the mother in these situations, when we're like, no one expects a dad to be able to deal with these things. Like, that's the mom's problem. Like, the mom has to figure out when to feed. You think a dad's sitting at work being like, man, my kid's probably being breastfed right now, I hope everything's going okay? No. Like, that's not a thing that happens. It's on the mom to figure out what to do. And it sucks, because I agree, you're in a situation that's not appropriate, but you shouldn't be in that situation to begin with. That's what pisses me off about it.
Well, and I think I was in a trading today, actually, about leaves and all kinds of stuff. And, like, if you're going to have kids, move to California. Because between, obviously, FMLA is a state thing, but between FMLA and CFRA and whatever, like, they were going into all kinds of stuff I didn't know about.
Move to fucking France. You get a year off in the state. Well, the country sends you a
nanny. Norway.
Way
yeah, better.
Don't fuck your piddly little 12 weeks off. Go somewhere where they give you a whole year and send you help.
Well, but right? No, there's a lot of stuff that people are eligible for in California that they don't realize. Like, I didn't know that baby bonding time was a thing and how much time you got with that. And it's not 12 weeks. Some places it's 7 3/4 months or 7 1/3 months or something. And
Netflix, like, gives a year. If you work for Netflix, they give you a full year.
And it's maternity or paternity leave, yeah. Right? Like, mm-hmm.
They even do it if you're Netflix, adopting.
Speaking of Netflix, did you guys watch that that Ali Wong comedy special?
Not yet.
She's on. It's really funny. She talks about being pregnant and, like, how she's obviously pregnant.
Oh, that one I did see.
Yeah. Well, and she's, like, talking
pregnant
about how,
both,
like,
of them.
Yeah, and she's like, you know, people always ask me, like, who's home with your child? Like, who the fuck do you think's home with my baby? Like, the TV is watching my baby.
Yeah.
You know? She's, you know, obviously joking, but it's like, you know, people don't understand that, like, women still have to go back to work before they're ready after having a baby, and it is very sad. Very, very sad.
It's right up there when people say, is your husband babysitting your kids?
Right?
Don't get me started.
Babysitting.
That's my number one pet peeve.
Right?
Number one pet peeve. So I guess moral of the story is, person I'm talking about, I love you, and you're a phenomenal mom and a phenomenal teacher.
And it sucks,
but
you're in the position that you have to bring your kid in anyway.
100% sucks. I don't think this lady's mad you're breastfeeding. She's mad that you're not teaching the class.
Yes. And people who whip both their titties out in public, you don't have to make a statement about everything. Just feed your kid and move on. Jesus.
Right.
God, not everything has to be up. Not everything has to be at 1,000% all the damn time.
It doesn't all have to be a battle or a protest or
whatever. You don't have to die on every damn hill.
If you would have just fed him, not covered, just full on your tit out, flop it out, put the baby on there, take the baby off, switch, put him back. Like, nobody would have said anything.
Not a damn thing, but you cannot keep both of your titties out. Jesus. I just can't even. Like, it just drives me nuts to think, like, you have to put yourself in a different situation. Like, would you, if you were in a Target, would you just pull both of your boobies out? If you were at a police station, would you pull both of your boobies out? Like, you have to fucking think about it. Like,
it makes me think, too, like, you know, on the Tara Reid, like, you know, she had a low-cut dress on, her boob slipped out, and she's taking pictures and didn't know. If my boob was out, I would know 1,000%.
There is a so much surgery, she can't feel her boob.
That's a very valid point.
Very valid. Because I'm telling you right now, a stiff breeze, and I feel like, I'm like, what's happening?
They
I'm not coming up.
They cut glass when it even changes 2 degrees lower.
For sure.
All right.
For sure. I feel you. Cheers.
Let's move on. Stace, what's next?
I don't know how much time we have. We have Jessica Biel and Lincoln.
We got to do Lincoln.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how much time we had left. So when Lincoln, about 2 weeks before Lincoln was going to be born, which is Jax's about to be 1-year-old baby, I asked her some questions because I was curious how her answers would change after a year. Now, Lincoln's birthday is next week. He shares a birthday with my dad, and I want to see how her answers have changed.
Okay.
Are you
Let's
ready?
Yeah.
All right. So, number one, what time do you go to bed?
I mean, I go to bed usually around 11:30. Lincoln, we have a lot of sleep issues with him. So it takes us like an hour and a half to get him to sleep. He doesn't go to sleep till 10. Yes, I don't need everybody to write in and give me their hints. We've tried it earlier. It doesn't matter. We've tried giving him his bottle. This is the thing. The kid, my wife gets up with him constantly. I don't always hear him. I sleep much deeper than she does. And two, when he wakes up in the middle of the night, as much as he loves me, he does not want me. He only wants her, and it makes him scream even more if it's me that tries to soothe him. So my poor wife, she's running on empty all of the time. So it depends on when Lincoln, we can finally get him to sleep, but he fights it every moment of every single day.
That's rough. Has she tried microdosing?
So at age zero, you said 10:30 was your bedtime a year ago. Question number two, what do you think is going to be the hardest thing about having an infant? So at age zero, you said being exhausted all the time, which I think is pretty clear. So at age one, what is the actual hardest thing?
It doesn't matter if you're like burnt out or tired or whatever, they need you constantly. So, they're not like, when you have a dog, you can put them outside and be like, leave me alone. Or you can like push them off of you. But he needs constant attention, or to constantly be watched, right? Because the kid, I mean, they can get into everything like real fast. Like he's real quick on all fours, and everything is new to him. So, you know, he's pulling stuff down on him. He's playing in places that he shouldn't be. Like the dogs knock him over constantly. Like there's always just something going on. So his mobility is probably the most difficult thing.
Getting into everything. Number three was, do you think Alexis will change and how? So 2 weeks before he was born, you said, I think she will. Her priorities will change. Lincoln will become the center of her world. So at age one, did Alexis change?
Yeah. Lex is a phenomenal mom. But yeah, I mean, I think Lincoln is the complete center of her universe, like 100%. She hasn't changed in any bad way. She's a little bit, she deals with change a little bit better now. She's way more tired. But she's also, it's interesting, her priorities used to heavily focus on like her parents and what was good for, she was always worried about them. Now it's way more about, you know, what would be best for Lincoln. And, so yeah, she's still the same caring, loving person. It's just shifted to Lincoln now more than other people in her life. She really is a fantastic mom.
That's what you said. That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I'm not taking notes because I'm going to listen to this to like write down exactly what you said. Cause the age two one's going to be real fun.
Oh, geez.
Number four, what are you most worried about? And at age zero, you said SIDS. I also worry about the world I'm raising him in and I'm not getting back. So are those still worries for you? What do you worry most about now?
You completely broke up, so I didn't hear the last part.
Are those still worries for you? And what do you worry about now?
Say them again. I didn't hear what I was worried about.
Oh, I'm sorry. You said SIDS, and I also worry about the world I'm raising him in, and I worry about not getting back to California.
I don't worry about SIDS anymore because he's almost one, so that's not a thing anymore. I constantly worry about how the world. I mean, by the time he's my age, there won't even be any fish left in the ocean, and you know what kind of planet am I leaving for him? And I worry about the political environment. It does worry me that we won't be able to get back to California, and he's going to be raised in a not nearly as accepting environment as California is. But you worry about so many. You know, focusing on the things that they're good at, and you know, trying to foster their, you know, the things that they're interested in stuff. Like it's interesting as their personalities start to come out, and you see the things that you know he's going to be kind of good at. That you want to make sure that you encourage those. But I also worry about when I see these kids, I don't want to raise a child that is super consumed with, you know, electronics and gets everything that he wants, especially because he's an only child and he's an only grandchild. And like, I don't want him to be spoiled. And I think I worry more about what I really want is to raise someone who's truly empathetic and like truly cares about humanity, not just people that he encounters, but people he will never encounter. Like, I want him to care so deeply about kindness and the right thing that no one ever has to tell him what he should have done differently. So instilling those things in him, it's scary because, you know, I'm sure I will mess up 1 million things along the way, but I'm most concerned about raising an empathetic man who, when parents meet him, they will be excited that their child is dating them. That's like,
I'm gonna cry.
That was great. No, God,
answer. I'm literally cheered up.
Me too.
You guys are being very dramatic.
Sensitive.
God. A lot of those worries that you have don't go away. Mm-hmm. FYI. Having sure. teenagers and still worrying about that shit.
Well, you see the way men behave now, and like, I don't want him to be one of those men. I just don't.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
It could be because of his parents, like, to be honest. Course. Like,
yeah.
There's no way. Like, you and Lex are so awesome. Like, I can't imagine. I don't know. Anyways, carry on.
You can't raise an asshole if you're
yeah, right? Like, right. You can't raise an asshole.
So number five, I asked you what you were most excited for, and you told me the whole thing, to teach him things, especially Halloween, and to watch Shark Week with him.
Still excited about Shark Week. It's coming up in a few weeks.
It's soon.
Yeah, it's
So at age one, what are you most excited for with having a toddler?
Shark Week, man. Like, what do you mean? No, it's super cool to watch him learn things. Like, when he starts repeating words and he's learning to mimic us, and like, he gets genuinely excited to see some people, and like, he's very manipulative too. And I don't mean manipulative in like a negative way, because I don't think he has no mal intention. Like, he has no malice in him. He hasn't experienced it yet, so he doesn't know what it is. But to see his like mind kind of turning and know that he can look a certain way or act a certain way, and he's going to get the response he wants, is very funny.
He like understands the cause and effect of that kind of stuff.
And like, just today I set up, my sister bought him this little train, and like, he already knows to put things in holes, and like, he likes putting things that like, it's just fun to watch him figure out everything around him. It's
well, yeah, because a year ago he was just a little burrito,
right?
Yeah.
They're like a lump.
Do anything.
So yeah, but Shark Week is still at the top of my list.
These next few will go quick. So like, quick. What do you think is the most important thing you've bought at age zero? You said bottles. What's the actual most important thing you bought for the first year?
Well, besides bottles, obviously the pack and play.
Yeah, for sure. I asked you, what do you think is the dumbest thing you bought? You said the diaper genie. What's the actual dumbest thing you bought and didn't use?
The fucking diaper genie. But it was given to us. We didn't buy it. So someone gave it to us and we're like, yeah, we'll take it. But we've never used it.
Is that the thing that like,
yeah.
It's like a fucking diaper?
Yeah.
I asked you, how long do you think Alexis's labor will be? You said probably 24 hours. How long was her actual labor? Oh, my God.
Was it? Like 36 hours?
Yeah,
like
forever.
Listen, my wife is a rock star, like an absolute rock star. She was in labor for like, her water broke, and it wasn't even, her water had been broken for over 24 hours. She pushed for 5. Like, she was incredible. Out. Like, it was way longer than it needed to be. And I was exhausted. I can't even imagine how she
and
felt.
She's still like, exhausted.
Later.
We were super fortunate, though. We had, like, the best group of nurses with us, though. Like, no joke. The nurses were phenomenal.
We were all, like, side texting, too. Like, it's been a really long time.
And she's like, there are none.
Yeah, there were none. Yeah.
So I had read a bunch of like circumstances where people had a dog and they were like, my dog is my bait, like Stacy and Piper situation. And then they have a baby.
Piper's an asshole, though.
They can't stand their dog. And they feel, I mean, it's like overnight, all of a sudden, now that they have a baby, their dog is so second best. So I had asked you, do you think that the dogs will become an issue? And you said Bella may be an issue. The other two will not. So were they and are they an issue at all?
Bella is actually probably the best with him. She's the most gentle, for sure. She lets him like hang on her and pull her ears. And Bella sleeps on the bed with us. And when he's being real bad and Lex pulls him out of his crib into bed because he won't stop crying, he actually like holds Bella. So he's, Bella's fantastic. Chloe is fantastic with him too. She's a little bit rougher and doesn't mean to be. Like, she knocks him over and licks him and hits him in the face with her tail, but she loves him. Gizmo could not care less about the new cat in the house. Like, that is all. He growls and is very protective over Lincoln, but he doesn't want Lincoln to touch him. And I think it's because he doesn't like little kids. They tend to grab him because he's so little and like squeeze him. But they're all real big fans of him because he throws food at them all the time.
Gizmo is a little pretentious.
For sure.
Princess.
Gizmo's not mean.
You mispronounced
him,
princess.
He's 100% not mean. He just doesn't want, he doesn't want him near him. But he also doesn't want strangers going near him. So it's very
weird.
Also,
I feel bad for calling Piper an asshole. She's not an asshole. She's just a puppy.
She's a spaz.
Puppies are assholes.
So I asked you, do you think you're going to feel like a parent right away? And you said, I already feel like a parent because I've already had to make so many decisions. So at age one, is that true? And when did you feel like you became a parent?
I think it took a while. Now I do. It still feels weird to like say my son when I refer to anything, but it's gotten a little bit more like normal. I think the first time you realize like you're a parent is when you're so frustrated and mad at them, you get like why people are like, I will shake the shit out of my kid, but you love them so much that you know you never would. So mm-hmm. I think that's like the moment that you're like, oh, I actually love this little human being more than I love anything else in the entire world, because there's nothing that would make me leave him. No matter what he did. Where do you really feel like that about anybody else in your life? Like, there's nothing they could do that would make you leave him. So
I feel like that about Piper.
I feel like people can't explain that to you too.
Yeah, it's
like
not,
people say,
it's not,
listen,
I'm not even doing it justice.
As soon as you have that baby, you'll feel this love that like you've never felt before, and you'll do. And they're like, "Yeah, I know, it's my baby." And you're like, "No, no, no." And then once they have the baby, then they're like, "Oh shit, okay."
It wasn't like that for me instantly, though. I mean,
I think it's the person that pushes the baby out.
For
probably.
Sure.
I
mean, I loved him instantly, but I didn't have the type of, it took a few weeks, but I also wasn't pregnant with him. Like, it wasn't.
Yeah, it's different.
It is different, but it took a few weeks. But now I can't imagine him doing anything that I would like disown him for, where I don't know if I could say that for anybody in my life. Like, anything, you know, like if one of you killed Lex, I'd never forgive. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's, but that's, I think, the first time I felt like a parent, when I truly was angry with him and frustrated, but you still love him.
Yeah.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
So, like, that's the only reason that I'm sad that I probably will never have a baby, because I would love to feel that unconditional love. Like,
come on up here, hang out with him for a week.
All right. I'm not, like, I don't want to have a fucking baby. No, I mean, like, seriously, like, I just feel like I, as a woman, like, I should have that maternal instinct, and I just don't. I feel like I don't. So, like, that idea that I will never feel that, like, I would fucking take a bullet for you, and I'm not just saying it. You know what I mean? Like, I would kill someone for putting their hands on you.
It's weird.
Like,
you hear people say, like, oh, you know, if anyone touched my kid, I'd kill them. And then when you have one, you're like, no, I would literally fucking kill you if you did anything.
Yeah, the mama bear thing is real
fucking
real.
Yeah.
That's the only thing, like, I definitely think, because, like, I always, you know, you always, like, Stacey, I'm sure you could probably attest, like, if you think about someone like kidnapping Piper, you're like, what the fuck? Like, you would go nuts. Like, if someone touched Hannah or beat Hannah or did something, I would fucking murder them. But, like, yeah. I feel like it's even more intense, like tenfold, when it's an actual human child.
Here's my thing. I 100% agree with that. But I also think there's a lot of, like, Don't dog mom shame me. You know, I feel like there's a lot of that.
No one's dog mom shaming you.
No, not you guys. Not you guys. There's lots of stuff where people are like, you don't understand. You don't, whatever. Like, I can love my fucking dog. Leave me alone. That doesn't make me any less of a human being. And I'm not saying that about you guys. I'm just saying there's lots of articles about there that are like, oh, you're single friends with dogs. Yeah, guess what? Your kid is going to grow up to a fully functioning human person that can do things on their own. And in 12 years, my dog's still going to be shitting in the house. So I'm getting rougher at this point. Like, but it is hard because when you think about it, like, I want to have kids and I'm not getting any younger. Like, I'm 32 and a half. And like, I only have like disgusting people kind of in positions of authority over me making disgusting advances at me. And it's like, I don't see that happening anytime soon. And it's scary to think about, like what do you do in that situation? Like, I know you don't have to, you know, you can have a baby if you're on your own, but it sounds like a lot of fucking work from what you two say. And I don't know if I could deal with that on my own. And it's a lot to deal with. There's a lot of pressure that goes into that. Like I don't know if I will still be able to have kids when I'm at an age where I'm in a relationship that's stable enough to have them. And it's a scary, like, maybe I shouldn't have fucked around so much, but like, it's definitely hard. It sucks that women have to choose between like having a career and having a family nowadays. And I feel like there is this push of women to like, I'm going to go and be successful and do these things, and then I'll fall in love and get married. Well, guess what? Every eligible guy already did that. So what the fuck now? Nobody told me that when I was putting my heels on. They weren't like, guess what?
Lesbian.
That might be a thing, because nobody told me that, like, hey, when you get to 32 and you're ready to settle down, all the guys are going to be like, well, they have a little baggage. Like, oh, Jesus.
Well, you don't have, I mean, you could be a single mom.
Right, but that's what I mean. It sounds hard.
Well, being a parent is hard in general.
Right.
Just imagine, though, instead of Piper peeing on the floor, like your kid would pee in a diaper.
No, they pee on your face, too, if you have a little
boy. Oh, that, too. That's exciting.
Okay, I did have a moment, and I don't know if I ever talked about it, but Lila, who I probably had before we started this podcast, I don't even remember, was like the love of my life dog that I had for almost 13 years and had congestive heart failure, yada, yada, yada. She was on many diuretics because with the heart failure, they need to diurese you. And so she started peeing on the bed in the middle of the night. Like, she had no idea she was doing it. She would just pee. And so I started putting diapers on her. And there was a moment where one time I was putting a diaper on her. And then if I just put the diaper, she would wiggle out of it. So I'd have to put the diaper and then pajamas so she couldn't get out of it. And I swear to God, she gave me the look of like, please do not project your 31-year-old on me. And I'm like, I'm doing this for you. You're incontinent. But it was very much a very judgy look of like, I understand that you're 31 and single and don't have any babies, but does this fucking have to happen right now? Like, it was rock bottom. But that happened. Best dog in the world.
Is that all the questions?
No, but I think we're a little out of time for the amount that we have left.
Do it rapid fire.
It's all right. I'll do it fast.
Got it.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because I mean, like, we're halfway.
I'll do it fast.
Rapid fire.
All right. So I asked you, what do you think will be the biggest change in you personally? And you said nothing. So how have you changed?
I don't think I've changed all that much. I'm much more concerned about the future of our world than I mean, I've always been concerned about like politics and climate change and stuff. I'm much more consumed by it now.
Yeah. I think that was something you were aware of before, mm-hmm. but it's probably a little bit more significant now.
Yeah.
You are patient.
What are the things that you swore you wouldn't do that you do?
Let him sleep in bed with us.
What are the things you swore you would do that you don't?
Read to him every single night.
You thought you would?
Yeah.
Life's that'll come later. Chaotic.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that'll come when they're,
well, he
you
tries
know,
to grab the book late. And throw it, and it's a whole thing. Like, it's,
anyway, yeah. Once they, like, are, like,
oh my God, that's so cool, and respond to the story, it'll be way cool.
Yeah.
Is there anything you wish you had done differently?
I wish I had met Lex at 25.
Nice. Good answer. Ready for this? Is a big one.
Okay.
What are you proud of yourself for? Do it.
Make us cry.
No, I don't. Do it. I don't know. I constantly second guess everything that I do with him, so I don't have a.
Okay, then I do. I think we're all just so proud of you. Like, you're such a good mom. And patience. Yeah, I mentioned
my
that
mom
earlier.
Sitting
you
behind me.
So
she said I'm more patient. Yeah.
You are so patient with him. And, like, you, the little things that you don't realize are, like, super important. But, like, the fact that you, like, FaceTime us so he'll know, like, he'll be familiar with us and, like, how proud you are of him when he does little things like he waves and he was waving, like, backwards at himself. Like, it's just, you're an amazing mom. And, like, so is Lex, 100%. You guys are just fucking crushing it.
Yeah, for sure. I don't even know you that well. Like, I mean, I've known you for, like, what, like, 3 months? Like, I literally wish you were my mom.
I think that, like, as your best friend of Jesus Christ 20 years, let's not age ourselves. You're very easy to put people before yourself. Like, I know that about you already, but I feel like you're very good at making sure Alexis is okay.
Yeah.
Like, and that her feelings are very covered. Mm-hmm. So I think you've become a better wife. So you're a good mom to a mom is what I'm saying. Yeah, so anyway, what are you proud of Alexis for?
Oh my God. Everything. She's like, if anyone was born to be a mom, it was 100% her. She never gets frustrated with him. Like, she's super patient with him. She knows every one of his cries, whines, like every one of his noises. She like masters all of them. She wants to take him everywhere because she wants to expose him to things because she doesn't want him to start acting out as he gets older and like has to participate in like restaurants and like new people and stuff. So she's,
thank you for that.
Yeah, she's real into.
Right?
And like, I am real, like, I don't want him to be spoiled and I want all these things. And like, she's very supportive of all that. So she doesn't really fight me on the things that I'm like, absolutely not. We're not going to do that. And she just, God, she, seeing them together, they just love each other so much. It's really cool to watch. Mm-hmm. Are you crying?
With Stacey teared up.
Jesus Christ, you guys, get it together.
I'm very emotional. I'm on my period. Worry about like anything.
He started it. Okay.
Fucking ball.
Age one, best moment, last 12 months.
Probably when he starts saying, uh-oh. Like the first time he's uh-oh. Yeah, that's probably my favorite because it was like the first turning point of him going from being a baby to like being a growing toddler he started.
Because it's in context, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Now he knows how to use it appropriately. Like he drops something. It's uh-oh. Yeah. Like it's not just, he was saying words before, but they didn't make sense. Now he's using them appropriately. So uh-oh was his first one. And that's. And he does say cat, but everything's a cat. The dogs are cats. The chickens are cats. Like, everything's a cat. So.
Anything smaller than him. So what's been the funniest moment? Fart in the bathtub.
Oh, my God. Yes, 100%. When I was giving him a bath, and he, because, you know, he doesn't really know that farts are embarrassing yet. But when he farted and grabbed his butt and went, that was the best. That was the funny.
It wasn't the projectile vomit onto the.
No.
That was your guys' favorite. Farts are embarrassing.
Yeah.
There's a picture that's my favorite moment because it's my picture on my phone when you call me. Of you guys taking a picture at like Christmas time and Lincoln is projectile vomiting like towards Lex and Jackie just has the biggest like Like, oh shit, face, and it's so
I need to see this great. Picture. I need
it's
to see
the
this.
Best.
Stacey, we can't hear
it's you. Phenomenal.
Stacey, you're on mute.
Sorry, I thought I printed that picture and I'm going to make that my holiday card because it's so last question, or second to last question, what was the scariest moment in 12 months?
The scariest moment, besides the birth, I mean, when he was born, he wasn't really like breathing and stuff. That was, and Lex was taken straight into surgery. I don't think I've ever been that scared in my life. Because I thought everything was just like going to go away right then. But besides that, I mean, I the first 6 months, SIDS is the scariest. Every time he goes to bed, you're like, you get up in the middle of the night, you check on them to make sure that they're still breathing. And like, I think that was the most, he hasn't really gotten himself into any predicaments. I've been that, I mean, he's fallen and hit his head and stuff, but the first 6 months is, every time he would go to sleep, I mean, I can't, Lex still wakes up and checks on him because abstractly, you always kind of think like losing a child would be the very worst thing that could happen to you. But like, when I think about it now, I get this pit in my stomach that I can't even, I could probably recover from anything in my life. I don't know if I'd ever recover if anything happened to him. So the thought that that would happen and you'd have no control over it whatsoever, and but luckily, I mean, he's one now, and that's not going to be a thing anymore. Like, getting past that, I remember feeling such a sense of relief after he passed kind of, like, that scary age. Because boys are more susceptible to SIDS. Like, boys are 3 times more likely to die of SIDS than girls are. So I think getting through that was kind of, like, it was a really big relief for me. Lex still worries, but, you know, she worries about everything, so.
That never goes away.
Yeah.
I have a kid that's about to start driving. When people say, like, what's your biggest fear? My biggest fear is outliving my children, period. Mm-hmm. Having to deal with that.
Oh my God. Like a Sally Field moment.
Can't even. Last question. Lincoln's milestones. Is he crawling, walking? How many words and how many teeth?
He has 8 teeth. He got them all by 7 months. Hasn't gotten any sense. He crawls super fast. He looks like a little exorcist character, like all around the house. He's right on the verge of walking. He's like, I think it's going to probably be in the next few weeks because he's holding himself up and moving around tables and stuff. And like, you can kind of see him like taking steps away and wanting to walk, but he's not quite there yet. And how many words does he say? He says, uh-oh, mama, cat. He says, bye-bye. Does he say anything else? You know, I think that's it. Yeah. But he uses them all appropriately. So.
Any other significant milestones? That's kind of it.
When he started. His first haircut. Yeah. When he started stacking things and when I realized he knew like the right shapes to put into the right like holes was kind of.
That's a big one.
Yeah. That's a real big one. So those are. Yeah, I mean, he's moving along the way he should. He's real little, though.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, these are all going to be printed and put together for your baby book, and I can't wait for year 2 ones because
he's going to be
toddler years are super fun.
You think he's a terrorist now?
Maybe he won't be terrible twos. Maybe he's going to be, like, triumphant twos.
Well, but now there's the whole teenager thing, too, where they're like, I do it myself. Like, well, you can't drive a car.
Oh, he already does that. I tell him to, like, I turn the light switch off and on, and I tell him on, off while I'm doing it so he understands, like, motion and word relation and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he hits my hand away now. He goes, eh! Because he wants, like, he's very independent. I tell Lex all the time, his personality traits are going to serve him very well as an adult. It's just going to be a real pain in the ass getting him there. Like, he's very independent and wants to do his own thing, wants to hold his own bottle. Like he just has all these, he doesn't want our help with anything. So like I said, he's going to be a great adult. He's going to be a real bad teenager. That's all I keep thinking. Luckily, I'm equipped for that because I was a terrible teenager.
I was going to say, karma. Karma.
Let him try to get away with something. Between him and my sister, that kid is not going to get away with a damn thing. if he was smart, he'd only tell his other mom what he was up to, because that's just not going to fly with me.
I say that all the time. Lex is like, I'm going to a birthday party. And I'm like, are the parents going to be there? Are they going to be drugs? Are they going to be boys? What's the cutoff time? What's the bedtime? What's the... And she's like, we're just sleeping. And I'm like, no. I know the thing.
No one's just sleeping. I know what I'm sleeping.
No one's sleeping. I agree with Aaron. Although Lex is such a good kid.
Oh, yeah. You hit the kid jackpot with your kids.
They're bringing... They're reading Shakespeare puns and like,
yeah,
a good kid.
Your Alexis, your oldest daughter, is the smartest person I know. Mm-hmm. Like, hands down.
Yeah, me too. And that's the whole thing too. When your kid gets smarter than you, then you're like, shit. Now what do I do? I gotta call like street smarts. Huh, I have street smarts. I know what I'm talking about. She's like, you don't know what you're talking about, Mom. Let me tell you.
All right, everyone has 1 minute to do what they're obsessed with.
Shit.
I'll go first.
Okay.
I already know. Leave Taylor Swift alone, people.
Yeah.
She's either not a good enough ally, or she's not political enough, and then she is a great ally, and then she becomes political, and that's not good enough for you. Just let people enjoy things. Her new video was fun. It had all of the gay people that have all of the celebrity gay people. That it was cute, it was fantastic, it was uplifting. Just fucking leave her alone. Like, what will be good enough for you guys to finally be like, Taylor Swift is a decent human being? Stop trying to tear her down. I know I defend Taylor Swift on here a lot, but I mean, she took over her own business at 18. She writes all of her own songs. She has a hand in all of her marketing materials, everything that goes out about her. Just embrace her for what she is. Yeah, just embrace her for what she is. She's trying to be an ally. She's learning, okay? Just, like, if it's not good enough for you, remember where we were 20 years ago and kick fucking rocks.
Leave Taylor alone!
Leave Taylor alone! Jesus Christ! If I see one more think piece about how Taylor's not a good enough ally, like...
Fuck off!
Fuck off!
All the way off! Say anything negative about Taylor Swift. This is a pro Taylor Swift podcast.
Well, Jesus, what would be good enough for you? What would be good enough?
She's fucking that video with like her and like 9,000 gays.
And not just gay people, trans people, lesbian, like queer people, drag queens. Like she did all. She did the whole queer spectrum. So.
Billy Porter. He's the queen of everything.
Well, if you don't like Taylor, I get it. Her music's not everyone's thing, but you don't need to fucking tear her down all the time. Like, just let Taylor
don't
be.
Like it.
Jesus.
Like, what is wrong with you? Because that song is catchy as hell.
Yeah. Right? That song is catchy as hell. All right, that was like, my plus. My we already covered Lincoln, but my kid's turning one, which is very exciting. So, and my mom's here.
Yay! Sorry, you cut out for a second. So my obsession this week is my kids are about to leave for a little over a week, which in itself is an obsession because holy shit, I'm kid free and that doesn't happen. I mean, in 15 years, that's real exciting. So my kids are leaving for a week. They're going with my dad to a mountain man rendezvous, which is where they go. They sleep in handmade teepees and tents, and they don't do stuff past, it's like 18 something, I'm not sure what it is. The girls have been before, they have all their like costumes, their reenactment costumes.
18
already.
Something is 6 p.m. to everybody who doesn't speak military.
No, like 1800 and something. And it's
oh, the year. I thought you meant for like 6 p.m. Oh, sorry,
that's real funny. They shoot black powder rifles and they wear like all the outfits. I have to actually buy my kids special shoes because it has to be all period stuff. They can't wear certain clothes, pack certain things. It's all this thing. My dad is like an official like mountain man. He has all this stuff and he is gracious enough to take both of my kids because now that they're older, he can handle both of them, which I'm very thankful for. And
It's about to get cool. Buck Wild up in your house.
They learn a ton of stuff. They're really excited to go. They do the trades, so they make these necklaces. They make handkerchief dolls. They make all these different things to sell at market, and then they go out and they trade stuff at market, and it's this whole thing that they get really excited for. And I'm really glad that my dad can handle both my kids, and that they have a lot of fun, and they have this time with their grandpa that they're never gonna get back. You know what I mean? It's super cool that he's at that age and they're at an age where they can all do this together, and I get to be alone for like a week and a half. Yay!
Okay, I'll be quick. I discovered in the last week that Piper's a genius. I know. Well, listen. Long story short, Piper's a genius. First of all, she understands the word ball. So if we're just hanging out in the living room and I say, Piper, go get your ball, she'll get her fucking ball. Also, she learned how to, she used to be able to shake one paw, and now she can shake two. So if I say no other hand, she'll like switch and shake her other hand, and I'm so proud of it. Okay, my big one is, I think we talked about how we picked our show for next year, and we're doing Little Mermaid.
I love you so much.
Hold on. So we're doing Little Mermaid. I'm going to cry. And so part of a like very traditional tech thing with the Little Mermaid musical is that all of the mermaids and fish are on Heelys.
Oh.
I'm sure you can see where this is going. And so you like put a little thing in front of the stage so you can't see their feet, and so you can't see them on the Heelys because Heelys are fucking hideous. But like, it doesn't look like they're taking steps. They're just gliding about and swimming and all that kind of stuff. So I ordered a pair of Heelys.
Please tell me you are using them all the time.
I got them yesterday.
Arizona forever.
I got them yesterday. And you know the old saying, you can't teach a new dog old tricks. No, an old dog new tricks. Accurate.
Reverse.
Accurate 100%. It's so hard to learn. I put them on, and Emily was like, it's so easy. I did this when I was a kid. Like, I'm 32. So, like, how do I go? She's like, I don't know, just run and go. That's not how it works. I had to watch a YouTube video. It's so hard.
Things we say like, now.
Especially because I grew up dancing, and you're supposed to always have your weight on your toes, and you're supposed to have your weight on your heel. And if you put your toe down, you just stop abruptly and like, it's so hard.
I wish everyone could see you right now.
Record this. I know.
I wish everyone could see you.
Video proofer didn't happen.
I will send you guys a video. It's so embarrassing.
We're putting it on our Facebook page if you send us a video.
Then I am not sending a video.
I mean, we won't do that.
Don't even know how to go. I watched the video. It helped a little, but like, I've already had 2 foot surgeries. I foresee a third one in my future. I have become clairvoyant, and I see myself injuring myself in the next year.
Sounds like a great idea. Why don't you wear them all over?
All right, Erin, what are you obsessed with?
So obviously I've been watching The Handmaid's Tale. I have become
Don't do it.
The June and Serena ship.
Wait, what?
Don't do it.
It's a worldwide phenomenon.
It's not.
It is on Tumblr, Jackie. God damn it. I am so entrenched. I can't handle myself. I am disgusted by myself. I'm trash. I am a burning dumpster fire of hot garbage. And I mean, at this point, like, it's too late for me. I'm shipping them. So hardcore, and it's awful, and I hate myself. But I mean, what are you gonna do? I actually even started writing a fanfic.
Yeah, you did.
You win. I wanna read it.
I will totally let you. I don't know what it is. It's something. Okay, so like, I was talking to Jackie, and I was just like, Jackie, what the fuck is wrong with me? Why do I like villains? And what did you say to me, Jackie?
I said, because we're at the age now where they're flawed, and so it's understandable. So they speak to a part of you that too often we try to represent with like the perfect things about relationships when villains are not perfect, and that's what appeals to you.
They can be saved,
and it's that whole redemption arc that like just fucking gets me going. And I mean, let's be real. Yvonne is like, and Elizabeth Moss is like, So I'm like, I can't.
No one cares about your tooth thing with her, Jean.
Right, Jean. Let's talk about Jean. Like, yeah, no, that tooth thing is awful, Jean. I'm sorry, I love you, but Elizabeth Moss is just amazing. And so, like, at this point, like, I'm like obsessing.
She's got a tiny little tooth.
Don't care.
It's like right here, and I don't care. But like, I'm obsessing now, and it's not healthy. But I'm also okay with it because
watch Chuck.
I'm gonna watch Chuck because I feel like that's just gonna intensify everything. It's probably bad. I'm gonna watch Chuck and Mad Men. How have I never watched either? I don't know.
I know what you're doing.
I'm a horrible human being. I'm a horrible human being. Anyways, so that's my obsessed right now, and it's legit. I'm literally obsessed. I've been on Tumblr scrolling, and I'm just now dumpster fire.
Is everyone's wine good?
I don't know. Stacey, your mic is off.
Oh, no, I just wasn't saying anything.
No, it was me. I said Tumblr. I'm like, Tumblr's not good anymore since they got rid of the porn.
I know, but it's actually okay with this. I'll have to send you a link.
All right. Well, that's it for this week.
My wine is amazing. Amazing. Oh, it is a Saturday night wine.
Oh, shit. It got upgraded. All right.
Definitely Friday night. For
mine's
sure.
Definitely okay. Friday night.
Dave Matthews hits one out of the park again.
That would be the first time he hit one out of the park. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's gonna be a hater.
A hippopotamus.
Listen, there's a poem on the back about rhinoceroses with words you can't pronounce, and you're pretty smart. So
I'm gonna let you read this word. You're gonna be like, I don't know what the fuck.
I believe you. No, I don't have any misgivings about. I think I could read it. And you can't. I'm saying I don't need that kind of pressure in my life.
You don't.
All right, everybody, have a great weekend. We always turn into a shit show here at the end. For those of you that are going to GCLS, Aaron, Jean, and I, we are going to be playing a drinking game and answering questions with random authors. So look for us. We're going to be playing Would You Rather with random people that we find as a bonus episode. So until next week, I'm Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacey, the new age old school mom.
I'm Stacey, the political princess.
And I'm Erin, the geeky gal pal.
Gal pal.
Gal pal.
Bye.
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 Goodbye.